Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It from WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. New York City's live music scene is famed the world over. Its smaller venues have often been a proving ground for some of the most famous acts in the world. You have Bob Dylan and Hendrix at the cafes in the West Village, Lou Reed, Talking Heads at CBGB's. For many aspiring musicians and fans, it's a rite of passage. In the 90s, one of these smaller venues was the Knitting Factory. It was small, and if I remember correctly, because I spent quality time there, there were knitted sweater headers on the ceiling.
Sweaters on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun. Its owner at the time was Michael Dorff. Michael also happens to be the founder and current owner of City Winery. Now, you may have seen some things about City Winery in the news that it's closing, but it is going to come back in another iteration. Michael's also written a book called Indulge Your Senses, Scaling Intimacy in a Digital World. And he walked all the way across the street to be in the studio. Hi, nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
So the subtitle of your book, I think, is interesting. It's Scaling Intimacy in a Digital World. When you talk about scaling intimacy, what do you mean and how does that apply to the work you do?
I've always loved to play with words, and the Knitting Factory was kind of an oxymoron, and even City Winery, you know, just having people think, and scaling intimacy, the same thing. But it's the thesis of the book, and how I've been living my business world is using technology, immerse myself in technology, and knowing our fans are all in their screens all day long. You need an outlet. Some people go to SoulCycle, others go to the gym, yoga, what have you. A live concert experience is a very special, very magical moment for a lot of people. And our job as a venue, and it was this way back at the Knitting Factory on Houston Street 30 years ago, is to create as good a experience, as be as good of a medium between the artist and the fan as possible. So we need to think about all of the sensory components, the sound, the lights, the air conditioning, the texture, the tables. We want everything to be perfect so that it does become this magical moment. And if we're doing it right, you never look at your screen.
You never want to.
You never want to. Yeah, and we're not so draconian, you know, and we've talked about this before, and I've been asked a million times on panels and stuff, well, why don't you put screen, you know, make everyone put their phone in a case, you know, like it's the Sabbath. And I don't want to do that because, you know, as a parent, I'm always worried about something with my kids, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with quickly going, but the idea of holding a phone up and shooting the entire concert the whole time does feel a little out of place. And again, if we're doing our job right, you don't even think to do that.
Well, you write in the book, in the beginning, when you first started City Winery, you weren't quite sure it was going to work until Joan Osborne showed up, and that she was sort of really someone who helped you. You already knew it, but you needed someone else to give you a big hug and say, like, this is going to work. People want to be in a space together and experience live music.
You know, I went over the top at the Knitting Factory with media. In fact, the company name became Knit Media. I was calling music content. We were recording everything. We had a great label. But we were all about digitizing the experience. And I went over the top. When I opened in Los Angeles, we actually created these cones of silence in the bar where you could then try and connect with people in the New York, you know, Knitting Factory. It was such a weird thing. And I was like, you know, and it didn't work. And I still don't think it could work. When Joan showed up the first night and she's, you know, a dear friend, I realized that, you know what, I just don't want to do anything around capturing the show and be a TV, you know, I don't want to do any of that kind of intellectual property work. I'm so interested in this one-on-one opportunity. And yeah, having a big bear hug and seeing the show work, and you know, we made mistakes operationally, like we were giving, you know, $400 a bottle of wine away for $330. I mean, we made our screw-ups. That's okay. The connection that I saw between 300 people and Joan live was, it reminded me that these things are just precious. And so, yeah, that touching of a bear hug, and that's why she's playing our last show July 31st across the street, you know, nice poet, you know, poetic kind of
nice
symmetry.
Bookends.
Yeah, nice bookends. And then she's certainly going to be one of the first artists that will grace the stage when we open in January at Pier 57.
My guest is Michael Dorff. Hey, by the way, listeners, you want to get in on this? Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Maybe you want to share an experience you had at the Knitting Factory or one that you had at City Winery in its current location. Or if you want to weigh in on how you get that sense of shared experience living in a big city like New York, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We actually have a recording from a show from this past March at the City Winery where Southside Johnny played. And it's something I wanted to play because I think it kind of gets to your point about intimacy and being present in the room. So let's take a listen.
How are you? How are you? How are you? Three nuns walk into a bar. It feels like, are you watching the Marvelous Miss Maisel or whatever it's called? It feels like that to me. I feel like Mrs. Maisel. So anyway, that's what I say. You got my heart, feeling. You let me roll around. I don't check.
That's so much fun. Was that show great? It seemed like it was just a good,
I wish
it seemed
I could
like a good
say
time.
I was there for every show we've ever done
in
9 cities now. He puts on a great show.
It's interesting you said you were in 9 cities because sort of the ironic thing about City Winery is the one location it didn't stick in.
Napa.
Was Napa.
Well, you know, it's that bringing coal to Manchester thing, but that was just some brain synapse errors on our part. You know, we didn't realize that the 5.5 million wine tourists that were exactly our audience and demographic coming from all over the world to go to Napa and taste wine, they came to the shows, but by 8 o'clock, you don't want to drink any more wine when you've been tasting wine all day long. So we had this phenomenon of having full houses and no one drinking. And since we give most of our box office to the talent, we rely on the food and beverage to exist. So it was just dumb.
In your book, you also, although you talk about the intimacy and being present and not staring at our screens, you also write that you can't be afraid of change. That's really important to be able to adapt. What are some of the lessons you learned either from the Knitting Factory or from City Winery where you had to adapt?
Well, a lot. I mean, you know, you also just being nimble. When the original premise of City Winery was I was going to be selling barrels of wine at a time, private labeled, so that you could, which was the experience I had in 2004, and I fell in love with it, and I loved seeing my name on this, and I became intimate with the wine. I could talk about it and give it to friends and stuff, and I got a lot of people to sign up for this concept of barrels, and that was the premise going in 2007, and then 2008, our first grapes arrived the same week Lehman Brothers, you know, went out of business. So, and nobody wanted to have an ostentatious bottle of wine with their name on it. And so that whole side to the business of our winemaking and how we were going to bring in revenue from that went away. And it wasn't until the spring of 2009 when I was tasting the wine with our winemaker, David LeCompton, said, "This is really good. We got to sell it. You know, I need cash." We were desperate. I mean, it was,
sure.
You know, I wasn't sure we'd be where we are today. And he's like, "Oh, but what do you want me to do? I got to go to the and I'm sorry, my French accent always sounds like an old Yiddish man. So that's, but you know, the TTB requires the approvals on the bottles and all that. And I said, we got to just tap this. I mean, how? And he's like, "Oh, you stupid American! If you put pressure on a wooden barrel, it's going to explode." He goes, "But we could put it in a stainless steel keg, just like beer, and we could tap it." So we started tapping wine and serving it by the glass. As basically keg wine, and we don't have to add sulfites, and we're saving glass and corkage and all that, and all of a sudden that took off as a whole model of how we're doing wine by the glass. And now we have this place, City Vineyard, here and Riverwalk in Chicago, where we're doing 1,000 or 2,000 glasses of wine on a Friday night or Saturday night, mostly rosé and Sauvignon Blanc, and that can be 20 cases, 30 cases of glass that we now don't have to use because we're doing it on tap. So like that's sort of being
story. Nimble
and moving around does allow you to, you know, necessity breeding invention, that kind of thing.
We got a lot of calls. Lucy is calling about a show that you actually write about. Hey, Lucy, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, how are you?
Doing
thanks
great.
For my call.
So tell us your story.
I was so lucky to see both of the Prince shows at Beat Winery. And I knew that, you know, his backing band was doing a residency there, and it was a real reach for me to buy two tickets. But I was like, if I get tickets to two shows, maybe I'll see him. And it wasn't even a confirmed thing. And I just happened to buy tickets to both the shows he played.
Oh,
and
lucky.
It was incredible. I wept through the whole first one. And I could, like, hear his heels clicking on the stage. It was incredible. And just what you were saying earlier about, like, not allowing photos and not having a screen in my face the whole time was just the most amazing part. And I am so thankful for that experience.
Excellent. Lucy, thank you for calling. Let's check in with Judy, who is calling us from the Upper West Side. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Thank you. I'm a little jealous of that last caller because I didn't go to that show, but I'm calling because I think I went to the very first show you did. I'm not sure, but it was New Year's Eve, and it was Joan Osborne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was it was a little disorganized, I'll have to say, but we had really good seats, and what I told the screener is that the person I went with I had only recently re-met, but that's a whole other story, but I'm still with him 10 years later.
Mazel tov.
And we have a very, you know, a connection to Joan Osborne and the City Winery. I've gone to a lot of other shows since then. Reclaim the Coast was one of the benefits I went to there, and just numerous shows over the years. So I wish you luck in your new place, but I'll miss the old one.
Judy, thank you so much for calling. It's interesting that she said she comes back. I mean, is it the kind of place, do you see the same faces again and again and again?
We do. We have a membership program called the Vinophile, which is a annual $99 program that you can actually pick your favorite seats, and you pick five seats, and when we go on sale to Vinophiles 48 hours in advance of going on sale to the public on a mobile phone, it'll ask you, do you want your favorite seats for the show, and you can just one click. It's the only, you know, we're not a technology company, but we came up with this little ticketing and it works, and people love to know that they're going to get their seat. And they know what they're getting. And for me, actually, the biggest compliment I ever get is from artists who will say, whether it's Joan or Dar Williams or Mark Cohen, I mean, going, when are you going to open in Pittsburgh? When will you open in Denver? Because I want a City Winery. I need that 300-cap room where I know that my audience is going to love this, you know, the space. They're going to know what they're getting. And I can't open them up fast enough right now.
Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. My guest is Michael Dorff, who is the founder and current owner of City Winery and also the author of a new book called Indulge Your Senses, Scaling Intimacy in a Digital World. We've got more calls. Let's go to Lynn in Baldwin. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
I was, my sister took me out about 2 weeks ago for a late birthday present, and we went to see Philip Bailey.
Oh, the great Philip Bailey.
Earth, Wind & Fire,
yeah. So what did you like about that room? What did you like about the experience? Because part of our discussion today is about intimacy and being in a big city but trying to find community. What did you like about seeing a show in that size room?
I loved the space. It was very intimate and felt personal, and you were up and close with the artists, and we actually knew, have some friends that played with Philip that night, so it was really nice, and we went downstairs, and we were able to see the big barrels of wine and stuff like that. You know, we were able to talk to Philip after the show. It was a nice experience.
Lynn, thank you so much. Gio is calling us from Brooklyn. Hey, Gio, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, this is great because I get to thank Michael personally for the excellent customer service in City Winery.
Wow.
I've been going to shows since 1972. City Winery wants the fans in the club. You don't feel like you're doing them a favor by being there. They want you there. there was a little leak from the ceiling at a Busta Poindexter show.
I remember that.
My husband and I were relocated to the VIP area, and then they picked up our tab and gave us a pass to any show of our that we wanted to go to again. I mean, really, it still amazes me, and I write it on Facebook any chance I get. I'm looking forward so much to the new club. We'll be there on the 24th for the Lou Reed tribute, my husband and I. And I thank you. You have a wonderful club and a wonderful way to treat your patrons.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. If you want to call in with a memory from Knitting Factory or from City Winery, or if you want to just... if you want to add a comment to this idea of finding intimacy in these big cities, finding places, where do you go to find that? Maybe you go to music shows. Maybe you go to yoga class. Maybe you go, like Michael said, you go to Soul Cycle. We'd love to hear from you. So we've talked kind of around it. So let's just talk about what's happening with City Winery. It's closing at the end of the month.
Yes.
Why is it closing?
Well, I would love to say we're just relocating. But that whole block across the street from us here at WNYC is being demolished. Disney made a deal with Trinity Church. Trinity Church was given a land grant in 1670 something
by the Queen.
By
right?
the Queen,
yes.
Queen Anne.
We're talking about that.
I know. And this whole area where we are was agricultural. You know, for feeding further downtown. Pretty crazy stuff. You know, on the other side of the canal was where everyone mm-hmm. lived. And anyway, so Trinity has a lot of property. They gave a 99-year lease to Disney.
Yeah, Trinity, I believe, owns something like 40% of Hudson Square, of this area.
Oh yeah, huge.
Yeah.
In fact, they're not this building.
Nope, no. I checked before. Yeah. I checked.
Anyways, bottom line is Disney's fine. They've actually, you know, been very fair about needing us out on a certain date, and they've given us some compensation. Trinity, on the other hand, I'd like to say, was not a mensch. They really didn't tell us the truth regarding the timing, because we expanded on the second floor. We invested some money. And the bottom line is, you know, we're in a lawsuit right now with Trinity, and mm-hmm. we'll hopefully get some compensation because we could use it for the move. You know, we always knew that there was a chance of a demolition happening. And so I've been looking for a long time. And I probably looked at 50 locations before we got the official, you know, documents. And then had 1 year to really, really find something. And we got very lucky. We found really a spectacular space, no columns. It has some historical nature. We're going to do a lot of work to keep that intimacy and that the spacing, you know, from the stage to the back mm-hmm. of the room, so that everyone has eye contact, which to me defines intimacy. Yep. And a lot of improvements that, you know, when you walk in the front door on Varick Street, you walk right into the room. That's not the best way to do it. Or our food is made in the downstairs and it comes up, and if you're in the restaurant, the Barrel Room restaurant, it has to go through our white wine storage closet, basically. So, and I'm sure Danny Meyer, who taught me a lot about the customer relationships, mm-hmm. but he would say, and if he wrote a book called How to Serve Food 101, you don't take hot food from a kitchen, walk through a refrigerator, and then bring it to your customer. So, you know, we're so excited to have a real restaurant, mm-hmm. you know, right next to the kitchen in our new space, and we're not walking through a cold refrigerator before we give it to the customer.
What were you looking for when you were looking for spaces? Feel that you wanted?
You know, it's hard. I got offered some great deals. A great patron, when they heard, you know, the news, sent me a note saying, hey, I have a parking garage in Midtown in Times Square. I'll give it to you. Let's do a partnership. You develop it, but I'm going to give you the building as part of and, you know, I went to look at it, and it was a pretty nice building, but it was Times Square. It didn't, you know, the location didn't feel right. Then other places downtown, combination of things, you know, what are the neighbors like? What's the customer going to feel like when they're walking in? If it's part of a mall, is it not going to be right to go past, you know, a chain, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of everything. It's logistics, it's gut, it's feel, it's capacity, it's the deal itself. You know, we're paying a lot of money, but, you know, we could be paying a lot more somewhere else. And, you know, there's so many variables, it's almost impossible to articulate them all.
At what point in this process did you decide to look at this as a glass half full? Because when you get the news, a giant corporation is coming, taking your space, knocking down your building, you've put money in. You can't have been, it couldn't have been, you know, chocolate and flowers in your mind the whole time.
Look at it. I'm certainly sentimental. I'm romantic about the space. I have this funny letter from Disney now that is allowing me to take the columns out of the building when they demolition it, because I love those wooden columns mm-hmm. that we have, even though I'm not going to stick them in an audience's face in the future, but I'll use them for something. So I'm sentimental about it, but it's just an edifice. It's really what you create in the edifice that is our work. And so, no, I'm not crying about it. I'm excited that there are a lot of improvements. And the fact that we've now built City Wineries in Chicago and Nashville and Atlanta and Boston and D.C. and we're finishing up Philadelphia and we got a project upstate in the Hudson Valley. We've gotten very good at building. And I'm a closet architect and designer. And it's very exciting to actually take all of these lessons that we've learned in these other cities and now apply them to New York. And New York is where I've been, I built two knitting factories here. You know, so I've probably done now 12, 13 venues in my life. And now I get to put all of that sort of empirical understanding into a new space. And it's a phenomenal space. I think it's going to be the greatest club ever in New York. How's that for a...
There you go. How did you get started in all this, by the way?
I was managing a band from Wisconsin called Swamp Thing, and New York became kind of the home. I dropped out of law school to really get into managing them and kind of fell into needing... And so then we created a record label, and I found the Houston Street space, so I ran the label out of the office, mm-hmm. and then I lived in the office, frankly, for the first year and a half, and went to Pineapple Fitness, which was on the corner of Houston. And
remember it?
$19.99 a month. So that was how I showered every morning. They used to think I was a freak because I never worked out. I just went in, sometimes a steam every so often, but I'd bring my toothbrush and I don't think I shaved then either. But
let's take a call. We've got Robert calling from Westfield, New Jersey. Hey, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
So the venue, City Wineries, is really one of my very favorites, and I'm a big music fan. I've had some exceptional nights there. The highlight for sure was Sean Colvin with Jackson Browne, which I went to with a very close friend of mine a couple of years ago. And J.D. Souther was a great night, and my wife and I are going to see the Wallflowers in a couple of weeks. But what I want to say is, on another night, I think it was Mark Cohn with Jackson Browne, there was a problem with my ticket, which was heartbreaking. And I think, Mr. Dorff, I contacted you directly,
mm-hmm.
and you smoothed it out. I'm pretty positive it was you, and I just want to extend a sincere thanks, and that's the kind of service that venue provides. So it's I'm looking forward to going back in a couple of weeks. And I'm looking forward to the move, and it's just a first-rate place to go see live music.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
I'm very curious about you. Customer service keeps coming up.
Yeah.
You seem like a nice person, and that you would be kind to anyone anyway, but where did you learn about customer service, specifically in the restaurant entertainment industry? Because it's its own thing.
I'm going to give a lot of credit to the book Setting the Table by Danny Meyer. I think his definition of hospitality and customer service is critical for any industry.
Danny Meyer of Gramercy Tavern,
Shake Shack. Mm-hmm. And he wrote one of the chapters is called Writing the Last Chapter for Your Customer, which basically means if there is a problem, go overboard so that, and these people are telling about some problems that we rectified and went overboard. And then it's going to be a lasting memory and they'll hopefully become a customer for life. And so that philosophy, I actually have every single employee from the dishwasher down. I'm going to sell more of Danny's books right now than my own
we'll
book.
We'll get to your book, don't worry.
But every employee, we give a copy of the book. When we onboard them and we give them the sort of a manual of what to do, we also give them a book. So I've bought about 2,000 copies now of Setting the Table because I think it is such an important understanding and insight into hospitality. And so we've just taken that on as our Bible for hospitality.
My guest is Michael Dorff. We're talking about City Winery. We'll get to exactly where it's going to be in a moment. Let's take a couple more calls. We've got Marilyn, who is calling from Manhattan. Marilyn, thanks for calling All of It.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I love City Winery, and I especially have loved your Klezmer brunch on Mother's Day. But I do have a critical comment and a strong suggestion for your new place.
Okay.
I took my elderly mother to the Klezmer brunch this year, and she's handicapped with a walker. There was basically no facility. We had to take the freight elevator, which we waited maybe 15, 20 minutes for, and when we got in it, it was full of the food carts. My mother freaked out. It was very unpleasant. And I'm really hoping, maybe by law, you have to have better handicap access in your new space.
We for sure will be ADA compliant. And sorry about that. The freight elevator, we were putting in a new elevator to the second floor, but when Trinity kind of pulled the plug on us, and we've only had the second floor now for a year, we decided to just use the freight elevator and not put in a customer-facing elevator. We were still compliant, but we should have had it empty for your mother. But yes, we're going to have a great set of elevators in the new place. And almost everything is on the ground floor at Pier 57, so she should be cool.
Let's slide in one more call, and then I want to ask you one more question about your book. This is Moisha. Hi, Moisha.
Hi. Well, I, like everybody else who's called, I'm a huge fan of the club. It's a fantastic venue. And I wanted to say briefly that for some strange reason, I don't understand myself. I was very shy as a kid about going out to music, so I didn't really start doing it until my 20s. And at that point, my favorite club was The Bottom Line. And I became friendly with Alan Pepper. And so this is not a knock on him. But to me, I always think of City Winery as The Bottom Line sort of grown up and refined. One of the things about The Bottom Line was you couldn't reserve a specific seat. You had to wait in line outside, get there early, and then try to grab the spot you wanted. And it's just such a much more adult experience to be able to know exactly where you're going to be sitting, to arrive, you know, just whatever's convenient for you before the app goes on. And it just makes life so much easier. And I also want to thank you for supporting certain artists who I'm huge fans of. One of the younger ones, Diane Birch, who I still think should be a gigantic star, and hopefully she still will be, and particularly Richard Thompson, who I'm on the waiting list for the upcoming show, but who was responsible for my most memorable experiences at your club, which was when he does the all request shows.
Are great.
There's like nothing else like them, really. People have no conception of how much fun they are. So thank you very much for everything you've done. I'm really excited to hear that you've got a new space picked out, and I'm eager to hear more about it.
Okay, let's find out where it is, though.
I look forward to coming. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Thank you. So where's the new space going to be?
Pier 57. It's 15th Street and the West Side Highway. So it's just a short bike ride from here. The High Line is really close. It's a half a block away. In fact, one of my ambitions is to get Google, who's a tenant in the co-tenant with us, and they have Chelsea Market, which is across the street they bought, to extend the High Line over the West Side Highway so you don't have to deal with the stoplights and the crosswalk there. But it's a great location.
And your book is coming out when?
Comes out October 5th or 8th or something like that. And I'm in this big pre-sale campaign where I'm encouraging people to buy it. If you get it on Amazon and then you send me the receipt in advance, I will give you a hard hat tour of Pier 57.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that cool? Cool. I've done this a few times and people, they're loving the tour and we'll drink some wine in the afternoon and chit chat in person.
Michael, congratulations on the new space. I'll say that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hope to see you there.
Oh, you will. You will. My guest has been Michael Dorff. Stay with us with some details about the Corkscrew Festival for emerging talent in theater. Stay with us.